Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
Hey everyone, my name is Tim McDonald. I just recently did a Godcast with Frank Sasso on intimacy with Holy Spirit. It was just an awesome time that I had with him, probably the fastest 30 minutes of my life. But at the end of that message, we started to talk about a little bit about one of my favorite topics, and it just so changed my life that I just want to go in a little deeper with you and just try to share some things that the Lord has shown me. And it's the ability to build a blessing using the Word of God. And so when you look at that word blessing, you might think, all right, well, what is that? What does the word blessing mean? And so when I look at the word blessing, I started to read in Ephesians 1 where it says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours. Not that it can be or that it puts it off in a future time. It says that it can be ours right now. Jesus, when he was telling the parable of the prodigal son, the older son says, my whole life I've been slaving for you and you've never given me anything. And he tells the older son, everything I have is already yours. And that started to get me excited that it's mine now. And so if you're anything like me, you want those things to manifest in your life right now. And so I said, Lord, start to show me what those spiritual blessings are. And he started to show me that whatever you read in the Word is already yours. It's already there in heavenly places, and that's where we're seated. Ephesians 2:6 says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So as we start to declare those things as though they were, they start to manifest in our lives. And so I was like, wow, Lord, what is those blessings? And it's the power or the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's healing, miracles, signs and wonders, a blessed marriage, blessed kids, obedient kids. It's all those things that you see Jesus did. It's all there and it's all yours. And so I started getting excited because I started to see that it already is mine. And if you're anything like me, you want to see that thing manifest. I want to see it now, Lord. I want it now. And so he started to show me how to do that. And so I'm going to talk about some things that I talked about in the previous word on intimacy with Holy Spirit. I'm going to interject them into this word and tie it all together, hopefully, and then you'll come out on the end excited as I am. And so one of the things that we talked about, building in the Spirit or building a blessing, is what you focus on gets bigger. Bob Mumford says that he did a whole sermon series on this because it's just so powerful. People who walk with me almost get tired of me saying it because I just say it all the time because it's just, I can almost make it fit almost any situation. It's just amazing. And so the idea's been around for a long time, and Paul kind of says it this way: I didn't know not to covet until the law said do not covet, and then all of a sudden something gets awakened in me. And that's what focus does. It gets awakened to me, and all of a sudden I want to covet. That's all I want to do. The Father tells Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. He says, you can eat from any tree you want except for that one. And all of a sudden they start to focus on those things, and that's when it gets bigger. Many of my friends and people that I know struggle with sin and addictions and stuff like that, but the way that they try to get out of it, the whole, is that they say, I will not drink, I will not drink, I will not curse, I will not curse, or whatever your addiction is or your problem, you so focus on that thing that really all you're doing is you just build this little prison. It's kind of like a cyclical thing where you just keep going around another lap around the mountain, Bob Mumford says, and it kind of starts an inward spiral that ends up on itself. And so it's like a prison. But the good thing is the opposite is true also, which if you focus on God, he gets bigger also. And that's a great thing. The picture I always like to share is if you have a glass and it's half full and you stick your hand into the glass, what happens to the water? It has to come out because there's no more room for the water to be in there. So when you're doing battle with those addictions or when you're trying to build a blessing, it all comes down to focus. And if I always say that the kingdom of God is as close as your hand. It's just a focus away. The kingdom is at God is at hand. It's not far. It's real close. And as we learn to focus on that which already exists, we can train ourselves. We can have be at peace and be a blessing and have power in just about any situation because every blessing is already ours. Got a couple of scriptures in Hebrews that I want to share with you. Hebrews 11, verse 10 says, "The architect and the builder is God." And so he's the architect and the builder, but I know that we're called to the job site because Paul says, and we'll get into this later, but 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, Paul says, "Be careful what you build because it'll be tested by fire." So that I know that we're called to the job site also. If you go back to Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." So God said, "Let there be light, let there be air, let there be heaven, let there be earth." All that was formed at His command. Now, we don't walk in the same power as He does, but we can start to form things that already exist by the same spoken word. And the Lord said to me one time, and this is really good, He said that your words will have power when you realize that there's power in your words. He said, let me repeat that. He said, your words will have power when you realize there's power in your words. So when I come into the revelation of who I am in Him and my position, and I start to declare things, especially the words that He's already declared, when I start to declare the truths that are already in the Word or what He's shared with me, when I declare those things, there's divine power for those things to start to manifest in my life. And so what we want to do, and so you also read in other parts of Scripture, is that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharp. Sharper than a double-edged sword, able to penetrate, dividing soul and spirit. It does not come back void, right? It accomplishes all it sets out to do. So it's God, Jesus is the Word. So it's really cool when we just take His Word and we declare it over our lives, we decree it, we pray it, and then there's some other things that you'll see that are really powerful in getting every blessing to start manifesting in your life. So the basis for the word or the meat of this whole discussion is in Colossians 3 verses 1 through 14. But I'll kind of read and do some commentary at the same time. I'm going to skip around a little bit too. Verse 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Matthew 7 says, "Where your treasure is, so will your heart be also." And so we have to take a purposeful stance in setting our hearts on things above. One of the things that intimacy with the Holy Spirit will do for you, it'll take your current treasures, maybe that's TV, or maybe it's sports, or maybe it's reading books, or whatever it is, maybe it's gardening, maybe it's eating, whatever it is that your treasure is that's not God, it's going to go away the more time you spend with God. It'll just happen. So you start to get really intimate with God, your treasures will start to change, and it needs to be fully on Him. And so it's got to be, a purposeful act to set our hearts on things above. And it also says, the next verse, it says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Again, we're getting back into what you focus on gets bigger. And so it's just really powerful when you start to see these things. So you set your heart and your mind on things above. Then we skip down to verse 5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips." You got two words here, put to death and rid yourself. And again, we get back to what you focus on gets bigger. And the way to get rid of those things is not the purpose in your heart not to do them, because that's where your focus will be. Kind of what I do is I just take authority over those things and I just command them not to manifest. blessed. When you're born again, you get a brand new spirit that does not sin. So part of you doesn't even sin. That's why we could be seated with Christ in heavenly places right now, because that part of you is perfect. It doesn't sin at all. And so sometimes when I'm missing the boat, I'll command my soul, which is not perfect, which is being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, I command my soul to be obedient to my spirit man. And there's a lot of power in doing that. But what, again, I don't spend too much time there. I spend more time on focusing on who God is, and then those things that are not God, they fall away. And so then it says down in verse 12, and this is the most important part of building the message. Well, it's one of the most important parts, and this is one of the things that God really started to show me. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, greatness, and patience. So after it says to put to death and to get rid of those things, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And so the key here is to put on the new self. A little further on, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so the two words I want to focus on here, which I think have a lot of power, are to put on the new self and to clothe yourself. We have all our lives of all this information going into our head of creating the way we think. For our minds to be transformed, we have to, one, put to death and get rid of the evil nature, and the other, which is way more important, is to put on new revelation and to clothe ourselves with other revelation. So I said, all right, Lord, what does it mean to put something on? And this is so cool because this is way smarter. God's way smarter than I am. And so when I heard him say it, I knew it was straight from him. And he says, to put something on means to see yourself in the light and the truth of what the word is saying about you. Again, let me say this again. It's worth saying twice. It's worth you getting it. This is worth the price of admission right here. He goes, to put something on means to see yourself in the light and the truth of what God is saying about you. And so that's how your minds are transformed. And so to clothe these things, again, clothing and putting on are the same thing. And it says, if God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We need to put these things on. And so if you struggle with love, you just can go right into the Word and you start to declare love verses over your life. And then what you need to do is you need to see yourself with those verses on. You need to take the words, like it says that God's thoughts towards you were too numerous to even count. He knew you before you were even made. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And so as you start to see yourself, and then what I would do many times is I would ask the Lord, I was like, Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that even mean? One time I was in my prayer room right where I am now. It's pretty cool. Maybe we can do a podcast or like a little video from here. But I just closed my eyes and I was focusing on who he was, and I was asking that question. And in the distant way off, I saw like this rectangle. It was like really tiny. And then it started coming towards me and towards me. And as it got towards me, it got bigger and bigger. And as it got real close, I started to see that it was a picture of me when I was like 5 or 7 years old, and it was like my mom's favorite picture of me. And I heard the Lord say, I've had this picture from the foundation of the world, and when it was my time to knit you together in your mother's womb, I had this picture, and I thought of you, and I put into you everything that you would need for all the works that I would have for you. And it just so rocked my world that I just, and so what I did is I took that revelation, I prayed that revelation over my life, and the important thing is I started to see myself in that revelation. What I'd see In Luke 24, again, I shared this in intimacy with Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, the two guys who were walking with Jesus are saying all these different things about who Jesus was, and they're kind of missing the boat and the big picture. And Jesus says this thing to him. He says, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So Jesus told them that he would die. Then he told them he would be raised in 3 days, but they still never got the picture. They never took care of the Word. Many times I see what people do is that they stay in the Word long enough to get them out of a situation, but they never stay in the Word long enough for it to transform their lives. In Psalm 119, verse 9 through 16, it says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you." It doesn't say I've hidden it in my head. It says I've hidden it in my heart, because it's out of the overflow of the heart that we live. Verse 12 says, "Praise to you, Lord, teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees." And it says, "I will not neglect your word." Let me just make it personal. For so many years, I neglected the word. I would read the word, but I wouldn't study it. I wouldn't meditate on it. Where do we get revelation? We get it into our heart, and it has to make the journey. It has to make the journey from our head to our heart. And that's the longest journey. But there's ways and things that we can do to make it quicker. This is where I feel like a lot of people miss it also, because it's not a pleasant thing to talk about, because it's a little hard. But getting back to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, Paul says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames." And so what I started to see, the Lord started to show me, as I take the Word of God, I start to decree it over my life. I start to see myself in alignment with that Word. I put that Word on me. I believe what God says about me. Then what happens is as I spend time in that Word, the Lord will allow fire to come to test the quality of each one's building, or what you've been building. And this is where many fall away, because they don't realize what's going on. But this is really, folks, I'm just telling you right now, this is how Paul can rejoice, whether he's on the mountaintop or whether he's in the fire. Because when you're in the fire, that word that you've been building is getting perfected. It's getting in you. The Lord uses the fire to move revelation from your head to heart. Now, I understand, because he's done it with me many times, it's not the only way. Sometimes God just sovereignly moves by his hand and his grace and his mercy, and it's always awesome. And he moves revelation from your head to your heart so that you get it real quick. But the fire comes to do that. So as an example, just to give you something to hold on to, is I spent like 6 months taking the Father's love letter. And you can get that online. It's just a great thing. In Scripture, it tells you who you are. Those things that I was saying before, you're beautifully and wonderfully made. My thoughts for you are too numerous to count. He's our greatest encourager. And these are all great verses. And so I'd come down in my prayer room. I printed those verses out and I said, "All right, Lord, speak to me about this." And as he spoke to me about one verse, I declare it over my life. I pray it over my life. And I started to see my life as the word it was spoken about me. And I'm getting transformed. But the thing that happened is, in about 6 months' time, I would come down into my prayer room. I'd say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to worship. Now I want you to read the word. Read this verse." It was like that intimate. I was like, I could hear him breathe. It was just like, it was so amazing, so awesome. And then I came down one day, and all that was gone. I didn't hear a word. I didn't feel his presence. I didn't have anything that I could say, "Oh, you're with me." It was like dead silent. It was like, "Tim who? I don't even know who you are." And so I spent 2 weeks and I was whining, complaining. It was like, I was just like the Israelites. I really was. And I started to grow in appreciation for what they went through in the desert. It's because I had no connection with the sovereign Lord. And it was just ripping me up. And I think God in his mercy, because he wanted me to get a revelation, came and he spoke to me and he said, "Tim," and I was like, "Yes, Lord, you're back." He goes, "From the time 6 months ago until now, all the praying that you've done, all the time that we spent together," he goes, "what has changed?" And then I didn't hear him again. But what I started to see was that was fire. Because I had a revelation of his word, and mine was being transformed. And here he comes. He pulled back, not Bill Johnson says, not as punishment, but just to see. See, when I stand on the truth of his word in the midst of either sickness or addiction or whatever I'm going through or lack of peace or struggling with love, when I stand on his word, despite what I'm seeing in the natural, then that revelation moves from my head to my heart. So no longer get dismayed. I'm speaking this over you. No longer get dismayed when you're taking the word and you're putting it on. Say you're praying for healing and that healing doesn't happen. The Lord told me one time, and this is a good nugget, I just thought of it. I wasn't even going to share this. He goes, faith does not get swayed by nothing happening. Faith does not get swayed by nothing happening. And so I started to get excited, and I started to just by sheer standing on his word, started to be blessed. And I didn't have any encounter. I didn't hear his voice. Didn't have any of that. I was just standing on the word. And when you stand on the word in the midst of fire, something just gets synchronized in heaven and earth. And that what you've been building starts to become yours. So get excited, folks, because you can have healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. You can have the teaching gifts. You can have the prophetic gifts. You can have it, whatever you want, because it's already yours. And when you start to declare what you know to be true, those things will start to manifest or be like as you stand. And it doesn't matter about what the fire comes, because at best he can only nip at your heel. You stand on that word. And now, like, I'm just in a place of sonship and who I am, and my identity's in him, and you can just start building other things and stay in the word. Bill Johnson says meditation looks like this. It's like a cow chewing its food. It chews it and spits it up. It chews it and spits it up. So lay hold of something, whatever you're trying to build, lay hold of every message that's in speaking on what you're trying to build, and start to study it, start to pray it. But you have to see it. What you focus on gets bigger. We take the word, realize that your words have power. You start to see yourself. You need to clothe yourself. You need to set your heart and mind on things above and realize that the fire's going to come to test the average you're building. But when that fire comes, the enemy's going to get really mad, because you're going to start to laugh and have a good time in the midst of fire, because you realize that the Father's hand is moving revelation from your head to your heart. And so right now, I just want to speak a little word over you, and maybe you can close your eyes and maybe write me some comments in the comment section to see how this is working for you. But I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes right now. Father, I just want you to bless them with a revelation of how much you love them. And when he shows you how much he loves you, I want you to put that on, and I want you to pray that over your life all week and see how your life has changed. Because I guarantee it'll be changed. I'm getting blessed right now as I'm starting to pray that over you, because I'm feeling his good pleasure towards me, because I'm releasing you into something that maybe has been a hindrance over your life, keeping you from awesome times of him and being transformed. That's how your mind gets transformed. Man, I just feel like I want to go for another another 25 minutes, but Frank said to wrap it up in, you know, about 20 some minutes, and we're about there, 25 minutes. So I just thank you, Lord, for your kids, your sons and your daughters out there who are getting hold of revelation, who will no longer be thwarted, who will no longer come against that fire and run in the opposite direction and take another lap around the mountain. They're going to run full into the Father's face no matter what's happening on the outside of their lives, and they will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.